Psalm 127, let's stand as we read this psalm, just five verses, beautiful psalm. And I think probably most of you have fallen in love with this. If you're familiar with it at all, what a great psalm. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, that they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Heavenly Father, I pray as we look into a new year, Lord, that we'd use December, Lord, as a preparatory month to set ourselves up for a good start to the new year. And then, Lord, carry that through, please. We ought to, and our hearts want to be better for you. We ought to. I would hope, Lord, there's not a person in here that's become complacent and satisfied. Help us, Lord, every year to see what we have done, take honest evaluation, and then set some godly and biblical and lofty goals, Lord, so that we can be a better Christian, a better person in all areas, more like our Savior in the upcoming year. May these messages help as we prepare for a new year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Preparing for a successful new year. Last week, we preached on this subject, your Bible in the new year. And I believe that it must start there. If you're going to have a good new year, you've got to have a healthy, solid relationship with the Word of God. Tonight, real quickly, I'm going to give you a lot of exhortation. I'm going to preach this week or teach this week on your family and the new year. Your Bible in the new year, your family and the new year. Now, what is December for? December, I think, is a great month because things kind of are, we're a little bit different schedule, a little bit different in some things as far as what we can do. Maybe in ways we're busier, but also our schedule, I think, allows us some time if we'll be wise. And just evaluating the previous year and then setting goals. I'm all for looking back. I think it's good to look back, but I don't think you ought to live back. Okay, so look back and do an honest examination. But then, you know what Paul wrote? Forgetting those things which are behind. You know, whatever regrets are there, don't carry them into the new year. Whatever failures are there, don't put them under the blood. You know, carry on. Just make a new start. And, of course, the new year's a great time for that. I want to talk to you a little bit about your family. I'm just going to give you preacher advice. Can I just do that? I may not go to every scripture, but everything I'm going to say tonight is based on scriptural principle. Let me just give you some good exhortation. Preparing for a successful new year. Preacher, after my relationship with the Bible, well, what would you hit on next? What do you feel like's important? Boy, I want us at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to circle the wagons, rally the troops, hit some reset buttons within our own families. Let's all just recommit to family going into 2011. Now, let me just give you some practical things. Are you ready? Because, boy, I'm going to have to teach fast if we're going to get on this schedule here, especially after what Brother Tom said. I really have to make sure I stay within the time limit here. Number one, plan now to make family celebrations special. Plan now to make family celebrations special. Let me tell you something that's just been a help. My wife helps me with this. My wife helps me with a lot of things. But in my daily planner, in my monthly planner, in my daily planner, one of the first things that she does is she takes that at the beginning of every year and she writes in all of the family's birthdays, anniversaries, grandkids' birthdays, anniversaries, and then we highlight those with yellow highlighter. Now, let me just say this, folks. Let's just get back to making family days big days. Okay, let's do something a little special this year. Mark the important days in your family's life. Plan them in advance. Look at your calendar. Boy, look right up here, and let me help you with something. If you don't operate off of some kind of a monthly planner or something, you just need to start it. You need to trust me. Oh, I'm a teenager. You need to start now. You need to work off something. Some of you are just floating. You have no concept of what's happening later on in the week or later on in the month. And because of that, you hardly plan and are ready for much of anything. You got to have something in front of you that says, this is coming up. Okay, and so work off of a family calendar, work off of a daily planner, and plan the important days in your family's life. You know, your kids know when you've really basically forgotten their birthday and are trying to throw something together at the last second. They're not dumb. What did that just tell them? Gentlemen, are we planning more for things we want to do than for the important days in our children's lives? Your wife knows that basically if she hadn't dropped the massive nuclear hint 2 days before the anniversary, you had no idea it was about to happen. Wives aren't dumb. Okay? And take some time. Hey, family's worth it. Hey, folks, too many times our family's getting shoved to the back burner. Let's move them back up to the front burner, okay? All right. Plan things in advance for them. Take time to celebrate. Now remember this. A celebration's not so much the money that's spent, but the planning and the time that goes into it. And you can do something that's just a blast and a lot of fun that your kids will not forget, that really costs you very little if you don't have the money to spend. And same way, your wife, you know, nothing says I love you like diamonds. Now besides the fact, she really will be just appreciative of the fact that you took some planning and you thought of it and you came up with it. Maybe it was a dumb idea, but you at least planned ahead of time and celebrated and took the time. Take the time for family. Number two, plan now to make time for your family. Now, number one, plan now to make family celebration special, but let's not just do it for 5, 6, 7 days in the year. Plan now to make time for your family. You heard the phrase, the family that prays together stays together. I think the family that plays together stays together too. I think that you ought to plan some memorable events in the next calendar year for your family. Now, just if you don't plan it, if it's not on the calendar, you're not going to do it. And you know what? Your wife can take a lot, and you can be very busy. But if there's something on the calendar that she can look forward to and just say, you know what, it's a crazy month, but on such and such a day, we're going to do this as a family. There's days when I look at my calendar and I feel like a lot of times, I don't want to complain, but there's a lot of things that end up on a preacher's calendars that, you know what, you just rather not do. But you know what, it's nice to look in a couple places that, during the month and say, you know what, yeah, but we're going to be able to do this. You know, children, you know, I'm all for surprises. Someone asked me this the other day. They said something about pulling off a surprise for a family member. I think it was for their wife. And I said, you know what, surprises are neat, and I'm not against them, and I think that from time to time it's cool to do them. But you know what, a lot of the enjoyment of an event is the buildup and the anticipation and looking forward to that it's going to happen. And so I think secrets and surprises are good, but on a normal thing, it's just nice as a family that everybody look forward and say, hey, we're going to be doing this month. We're going to be doing this week. And I'm not talking about taking huge amounts of time or taking days off work. I'm talking about just things to do together as a family. I don't know if you'll hear too many Independent Fundamental Baptist preachers tell you the next one, but I believe it. I've heard preachers brag about not taking family vacation. I think you ought to take a family vacation. In 2011, you say, preacher, we don't have enough money to go anywhere. Remember, it's not how much money you spent. Sometimes it can be stay here and just do 2 or 3 little day trips in the area. But it's the idea that you've taken time off work and the family has that to look forward to and you can do something together. And if you can, scrape together some money and take a little bit of a trip and do something, do it. Folks, come on. All of you that have grown children, how fast did it go? Just say amen right there. Just help these younger couples. How fast did it go? And I promise you, you're going to blink once, blink twice, and then it's too late to plan a family vacation. You know what? Love them while they're little. Enjoy them while they're little. Plan things and do things. And again, it's not about a lot of money. It really isn't. Sometimes the less you spend, the more exciting it is because of the things you have to do not to spend money, you know. And so, you know, plan some things. Just let's take some time for our family and make time for your family. Now, I've talked about scheduling special events and family vacation, but let me say this. The real key is just on a day-to-day basis, make time for your family. Let's do something. Let's share more meals together than we have been. Has your house turned into a restaurant? Is everybody eating at odd times and grabbing whatever and taking food to their rooms? Stop it. Stop it. Sit together. Have time where you as a family on a regular basis connect and do that, okay? So just make time for the family. Number three, let me give you this. Plan now, husbands, plan now to, ladies, it's okay to say amen here. Plan now to spoil your wife in 2011. Just plan to spoil your wife in 2000. You say, she's spoiled enough. She's rotten already, preacher. And, well, just... First time I've had David say amen in the church since he's been here. That's a, I knew I'd finally get to a spiritual level somewhere. But plan now to spoil your wife in 2011. Now, the Bible says this, husbands, love your wives. Now, in a wife's Bible, that reads... Husband, spoil your wife. All right, that's what it reads there. Now, preacher, again, we don't have a whole lot. Forget that stuff. Forget that nonsense. It doesn't take money to spoil her. It helps, but it doesn't take money to spoil her. Spoil her with some time. You know what? You just need husband and wife. Yeah, but we've got these kids and all. Well, good night. Lock them in a closet. They'll be fine. You know, as long as you're not gone more than 24 hours and you leave some food in there, they'll be fine. No, don't do that. Don't do that. But you know what? There's a Greek word that some of you need to discover. It's called babysitter. I don't believe in a babysitter. How's your marriage? Throw away those little cliches that you picked up from some, you know, nutcase, nut job guy somewhere. Sometimes just bring somebody in that's responsible and have them watch your kids and pretend you have no children. Just for a couple blissful hours. Just go back and like you're dating again. Just go back like it was courtship time again. Just go have a good time. Go out to eat. Let your wife finish a meal. Okay? So spoil her with time. Spoil her with affection. Get back to courting your wife. The best advice I ever got as a young husband was you keep her the way you got her. A lot of times us guys were so goal-oriented that we work so hard to get our wives, and then as soon as we accomplish that, what's the next challenge? And we just stop. Don't stop. Okay, spoiler. Now that means you make some time for her. That means you use your schedule again. Have some date nights. Do some things on a regular basis. Have some just you times together. Spoil your wife in 2011. I didn't really think it'd be this quiet during this part of it. Spoil her with personal sacrifice. How about this verse? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and what? Spoil her with personal sacrifice. Every once in a while, your wife just needs to be wowed because you financially sacrifice and time sacrifice to do something just amazing for her. I mean, she sacrifices every day of her life. So every once in a while, you just need to say, okay, listen, get your calendar out. I've already made all the arrangements. I've marked it off. I've got the kids taken care of. For these 2 days, don't plan anything. Me and you, we're going somewhere. And I promise you, you couldn't have given her a better gift in all the world. Okay? Now, okay, gentlemen, it's your turn. Now, plan now, wives, to spoil your husbands in 2011. Yeah, now you... Now you wake up. Here we go. I really don't know how to tell you how to do that because I'm not a wife, so we're moving on to the next one, all right? Now, treat him like a king. One wife said, I did. I crowned him last night. Don't do that. Just be kind. Be kind. Be kind with your words this year in 2011. Hey, let me tell you how to get rid of arguments in your young married life. Stop it! There, that's the biblical advice I gave you there. You know, it takes two people to fight. If one of them decides they're not going to fight, you can't really have a fight. So stop it. Yeah, but I can tell he's wanting to fight. Well, you ought to be able to know by now. And if he's in that mood, just smile sweetly at him and say, honey, listen, I can tell you're really wanting to fight. I'm going to go in the bedroom for some alone time, and when you get in a better mood, I'll come out and sit with you. And then you go in the bedroom. Yeah, no, send him to the bedroom. Send him to the bedroom. That way you can at least watch TV or something while he's simmering down. Just be kind to each other. Can I give you some advice that I guess the best thing to do would, if you're a young wife, talk to some older women that have good marriages. But this is probably one of the best piece of advice I give. I really struggle with this part of it. How do I advise ladies how to be good wives? I don't know. Be fun to be married to. I kind of sat back and I thought, what? Okay, the best way to me to teach this is look at my wife and ask myself, why do I like being married to her so much? You know why? She's fun. She's fun. Why don't you just be fun? There's a whole concept right there. Just take it into the new year. Be fun to be married to. Be fun to be married to. Okay? And so, I'm just not that personality. Let me ask you something. Would you want your son to marry someone like you? Would you want your son to marry someone like you? Be the person that you would hope that your son would marry. Is that good? Man, it's awful quiet in here. I didn't think this would be this bad tonight. I thought this is kind of elementary stuff. Be fun. Are y'all having that big of a problem? Is there that many problems around here? I mean, to go longer than I thought, Brother Tom. We got, just be nice to each other. Love each other. Laugh a lot. Have a good time. Everything she says, you don't have to take it personal. Everything he says, you don't have to take it personal. Stop wearing your feelings on your sleeve. When you do something stupid, laugh at yourself. You'll laugh a lot. If you can't enjoy yourself, no one else is going to enjoy you. If you can't laugh at yourself, come on. I say crazy things. I say silly things. We do more laughing at home. We're kind of glad the kids aren't there because they always thought we were nuts anyway. But we something will strike us funny. And there's things about her that's true that I kid her about. And there's things about me that's very true that she kids me about. And I don't, you know what? I know they're true, and I try to defend myself, and then I finally just start laughing because I know she's right. Stop it. You don't have to argue about everything. Just have fun. Have fun. Okay, quickly. I got to move on here. Plan now. Plan now to give your home a spiritual makeover. What can I do in December that would really help in our home? Just give it a spiritual makeover. I'm not talking about remodeling. I'm not talking about repainting. I'm talking spiritually. Purify your home. Just go through it and make sure that Satan hadn't slipped in anywhere. I mean it. Look at what you've got. Look at the music. Look at the movies. Look at the magazines. Look at the whatever. The TV, most of you got a TV set. You know what? You can, if you got cable, you can block any channel you want to block. Here's something you men ought to always do. We do have cable TV. And my wife is the only one that knows how to use it. I'm a tech-tard. You know what a tech-tard is? It's like a retard only with technology. So, honestly, she has blocked whatever channel she's not comfortable with. She's the only one that has the password. I mean, I got to ask her permission to watch TV, basically. No, I can turn it on. Here we've probably got 5,000 channels, and we've got a dozen of them that you can actually flip down through and look at. Block it. Purify your home. Purify your home. Are you getting that? Purify. Put that in the ladies' hands, by the way, gentlemen. Put that in the ladies' hands. Organize your home. Organize your home. Oh, I wish we had more time. There's something about just coming home for a man to a clean, comfortable, efficient home that means a lot. Nobody likes, and I can't relax and squander. I just can't. I can't. I know that some of you have little children. I know the challenges. I've come home. My wife's had a rough day. You can be cleaning, gentlemen, one room, and by the time you get it done, the two little monsters can have torn up three other rooms. You do understand that? And sometimes she's done the best she can, and you know what I do on those days? I come home and I look around and I say, and I help her, and we get it cleaned up, and then we sit down and we relax. But run a clean, comfortable, efficient home. Organize your home. If you have trouble with that, talk to some of the ladies that do a good job. Make some rules in your home. No screaming. Nobody raises your voice. If you open the back door and you got to holler across the field for them to come eat, that's fine. But other than that, you don't raise your voice. You use your inside voice inside. No screaming, no hollering. Okay? No fighting. No fighting. You know, kids start fighting, make them sit on the couch, put their arms around each other. It's the worst torture you can do to them right there. Just make them look at each other and keep saying, I love you. No, I love you. I love you. They'll never do it again. No unkindness. No unkindness. No. No, we don't go there. You're not going to be unkind to each other. No. Set the atmosphere of your home with some spiritual music. Set the atmosphere with your home with laughter. Set the atmosphere of your home with love. Make it a wonderful place to be. Let me give you a last one. Plan now to purposely serve the Lord together as a family. Now, tackle some service opportunities as a family. God's going to bring some things across your path, and you can just make it a family project and do something for somebody else. I like to see families serving together in the church. A lot of our ministries are run by family units. At all of our nursing homes, families take those on as projects. Most of our bus routes, families or one or two families have taken them on as projects. Just serve the Lord together. You know, there's something about a happy family that just has a spiritual impact on a community and on a church. I'm not sure that the greatest testimony for the cause of Christ, it may very well be a scriptural, happy, fun family. Because the world, for the most part, has no clue what that's all about. So your happy family is a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your happy family is the best advertisement we can have for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because people in the community may have been told everything in the world about this church, and they have. But if every time they see a family from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and they know if the family's from Blessed Hope Baptist Church most of the time, and they see the testimony of everything that they wish they had in their family in front of them, there'll be a day when they'll walk into Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So you may not think it's a big deal when you're walking around Walmart together and you're acting like you hate each other, but it is a big deal. You may not think it's a big deal when your kids are out in public and they're acting like heathens, but it is a big deal. And so let me just say this. Let's take this year, and I'm going to do some things. We just introduced it tonight. But throughout 2011, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to do a lot of preaching on the family. And I'm going to have Dad do a little preaching on the family. And I want us to just shore that thing up in 2011. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the time we could spend. I pray, Lord, that you would take these quick suggestions, exhortation, scriptural and spiritual advice. And Lord, may we rededicate ourselves to each other. Every family unit here, wife to husband, husband to wife, parents to children, children to parents. And Lord, we know that Satan hates the family unit. He does everything that he can to try to destroy the relationships therein. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to ask the Holy Spirit to bring a revival to our family. And Lord, I pray that throughout this community, the Lord Jesus Christ would be uplifted and glorified because of the testimony of happy, scriptural Christian families. We pray in Jesus' name.